We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, Lakers Nation? Sean Davis here for LakersNation.com, your home for everything Lakers. Welcome in to LakersNation.com post-game show. This is the show where we dive into all the X's and O's and analytics. And, okay, never mind. Give me one sec. All the X's and O's and analytics and dive into what went well, what didn't work well for the Lakers, and dive into what can Lakers do going forward. Welcome you guys all in here from YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. We'll be taking your questions and comments throughout the night. What a fun win. What a fun win tonight for the Lakers, getting their revenge against the Utah Jazz. Anthony Davis, what a bounce back performance. The last time AD played just was not the best performance for him. It really was more so just a lack of like making shots the last game. He missed a bunch of shots that, you know, we are more accustomed to seeing Anthony Davis make. And tonight he hit him. Anthony Davis was spectacular. We have a bunch to dive into. AD, 37 points, 15 rebounds, one assist, one block, shot 13 of 24 from the floor, hit a three. He was sensational. Rui Hachimura, I thought he had 36. Synergy has him down for 33. So we'll take a look at that once again. Man, I thought it was 36. Let me pull up the box score separately here. And while we're on the stream, we're going to keep close tabs on the Warriors game as well. Yeah, Rui had 36. So, yeah, we're going to keep that. That's a big time win. Big time game night for Rui. Austin Reeves. How about Sauston Reeves rather? 20 points, 7 assists. Very efficient night for Austin Reeves. 8 for 11, 3 of 5 from 3. D'Angelo Russell had himself a game. 11 points, 9 rebounds, 17 assists. Only 2 turnovers tonight as well. And then off the bench for the Lakers, Spencer Dinwiddie. I've loved Spencer Dinwiddie's performances. Through 2 games. We're going to talk about him. We're going to talk about a lot, guys. Austin Reeves, I'm sorry, had 22 points. I don't know why the numbers are off. Let's see. Eve says, W. Sean, been a fan for a while now, I'm assuming, is what we're trying to say here. Give me one sec. Been a fan for a while now. Man, just became a member. W, using the Sleepy Sean emoji, which, by the way, guys, you guys can use by becoming a LakersNation.com member. It's a great way to help out the show and you get great perks. Super chats are the number one way to make sure that we get that you get your question answered live on the show. If you guys are new, make sure you guys hit that like button and subscribe. We are near 500,000 subscribers, so we would greatly appreciate if you guys are new to hit that subscribe button. And let's try to get this stream up to 100 likes. Is a big time back-to-back win, like my guy BC says here. That's how you handle a back-to-back. Yes, indeed. So make sure you guys smash that like button. Try to get over to 100 likes on this live stream. Tully kicks us off. Would you rather lose a close Western Conference Finals or make the finals and lose to Boston? Oh, man. That's tough. That's tough. In almost any other situation, I say you lose in the finals. I can't deal with Boston. With Boston winning and getting that that AT banner over me, I wouldn't be able to live with that. So give me the loss in the Western Conference Finals. I'll take the loss. Like, yeah, BC makes a great point here. We lose in the Western Conference Finals to Denver, they'll smash the Celtics. So I can live with that. I can live with that. I wouldn't be able to live with a Celtics loss. That would hurt too much. That would hurt too much, man. Especially, yeah. Oh no, I wouldn't be able to do that. Jackson says I'm not losing to Boston. To hell with that. Yep, absolutely. Eve with a great comment here. Spencer Dinwiddie is so underrated, bro. He is doing the little things. Not gonna lie, his off-ball defense is very underrated, and just having a third guard that's actually good is making a difference as well. The one thing that Austin Reeves and D'Lo do, they are great finishers. Like Austin Reeves, legitimately, we can go look at some Austin Reeves data here while we're at it. Austin Reeves is legitimately a spectacular finisher. Like he really, really is, right? If we look at the regular season, including the play-in tournament, in-season term, I keep saying play-in, Austin Reeves is in the 85th percentile in terms of efficiency at the rim. He's shooting 69.3% at the rim. And really quick update on Austin Reeves catch and shoot numbers. 36.1% on catch and shoot threes now. And 34.7% on spot up threes. So again, need those two numbers to climb up. But I bring that up and then we can go to D'Lo too while we're at it. Where's D'Angelo Russell? D'Angelo Russell, 61%. So he's a all right finishing guard. Is that regular season? No, regular season and in-season tournament, right? So you have two really, really good finishing guards at the rim. The problem is they don't get to the basket at a high enough rate, right? Or like with drives, right? Spencer Dinwiddie consistently averages double-digit drives per 75 possessions, and that's really, really valuable. Even if you're not scoring at the rim yourself, it just opens up the drive and kick game. You can get the ball moving. The best, I think this is a Vogelism, Frank Vogel, when he was the coach here. The best threes in the NBA are paint touch threes. So paint to great, right? And that's kind of real, right? Like the best 3-point opportunities are off of a penetrate and kick out, and that's really, really valuable. I think, in my opinion, at least, that's one of the best offensive ideas in the NBA or just in basketball in general. When you put pressure on the paint and you're able to open up your drive and kick game, that's really, really valuable. And that's something that Spencer Dinwiddie does. And then defensively, too, I've been super, super pleased with Spencer Dinwiddie's performances on the defensive end as a on-ball screen navigator, as a one-on-one isolation defender through two games. It's very, very early. Very, very early in the Spencer Dinwiddie experience. But I think that he's proven to be a good fit. Now, the one thing that kind of scares me, and I brought this up on the playback stream, playback.tv/LakersNation, the one thing that scares me is what happens when this team gets healthy. And what I mean by that is, what does this rotation look like? And maybe that's what we dive into during this All-Star break, is maybe doing like a rotation build for when this team gets healthy. Because that scares me, right? Because all four, maybe it never happens, right? Maybe we never see this team fully healthy. I'm talking about with Gabe, with Jared Vanderbilt, with everybody. Maybe we never see that, right? But all four guards, if Gabe comes back healthy, all four guards are playing, right? Bron, AD, that's 6. Bando, that's 7. Rui, that's 8. Torian, that's 9. One of the bigs have to play. That's 10. I refuse to think that both Max and Cam Reddish don't play. Now, the one player that I think would play over the two, not necessarily saying they should, it would be Cam Reddish, but that doesn't make sense in my opinion. It should be Max, because this is one of the bigger reasons why Spencer Dinwiddie has worked, is because Spencer Dinwiddie is at worst, he's been inadequate, an adequate player on both ends of the floor. He's been really, really good on, or just solid on both ends of the floor. And Max can do that. Max can be solid, right? He can hit spot up threes. He can be a solid. He wouldn't have to guard the best player anymore, right? Or guard the great matchups, right? Because you would get Bando back. Come on, Warriors, choke. Why is Russell Westbrook shooting jumpers in the fourth quarter of a big time game? So I don't know. That's something that's in the back of my mind I'm kind of scared about. But yeah. All right, let's see what else we got here in the chat. Let's see. FJ says, I worry that our offense will take a hit when our defensive players return. This shouldn't be a worry, but I understand it completely, because the Lakers coaching staff had some of their worst, like, schemed games when they were healthy. So, like, this shouldn't be a problem, right? Like, when they get healthy, as long as they play call at a high level like they've been, to be completely honest with you. Now, sure, you've had some positive shot luck, right? Sure. But when this team gets healthy and they get Bando and, like, just play call. Just call your sets. The Lakers have really, really good sets. And that's why I think that, and then obviously, again, like I said, some positive offensive shot making, right, has led to them having this blow up in air quotes offensively, right? But when Cam gets back, when Bando gets back, just keep calling plays and keep running lineups that make sense. Don't ever run lineups where you have, offensively at the very least, both Bando and Cam on the floor at the same time. That should never really happen, ever. There's just no excuse for it. And when Bando's on the floor, make him as a cutter, make him as a short roll playmaker, make us as a off-ball screener, which they were just finally starting to do right before Bando got hurt. So I would love to, like, you know, make you feel good and say, I wouldn't worry about it too much, but this is a justifiable concern. But the frustrating thing is it shouldn't be a concern at all. And that's frustrating. We are up to 76 likes now on the video, on the live stream. Appreciate you guys. Let's get this up to 100 likes. Make sure you guys smash that like button for me. Really, really would appreciate it. Eve says, if we are healthy, call me crazy. I honestly think we might have the best guard rotation overall in the league. That's not a bad take. Like, how many teams have a four-headed monster from the guard position that can all, like, be really, really serviceable for you for cheap? D'Lo, $17 million. Austin's at 11, I think, right? Let me see. Austin Reeves this year, $12 million. So you got, where are we at? Like I said, we're at 17, 12, 10 for Gabe Vincent. And then what, veteran minimum money for that? That's $40 million for four players that are all 20 plus minute per night players on a championship team. Like, that's great. That's great. PSI 8 says, Sean, do you believe that the Lakers are shifting from defense to offense? No, not necessarily. I think, let me backtrack. I think the Lakers have put maybe more of a focus on the offensive end. I think they've really tied some things up offensively, right? But I don't think necessarily that they've made, like, this big switch, right, to being more of a defensive-minded team. To being more of an offensive-minded team. I still think this team is at their best when they defend. You're just kind of in a bad spot right now because literally all your positive, like, guard/wing defenders on the perimeter at least are either hurt. They're all hurt. I wasn't even going to say either. They're all hurt, right? Spencer Dinwiddie is probably your best, like, perimeter defender right now. And that's kind of saying something. Chat's saying Paul George fouled out. That's depressing. Let's see. The Clippers, they're up three right now on the Warriors. A little less than the 3 minutes left tonight. Jackson is preaching my language right here. And this is why I labeled this as a massive win for the Lakers. It's because... One sec. Where'd it go? Jackson says... we really had five guys not playing tonight. One amazing win. Yeah, the Lakers have started to figure some things out. The Lakers have started to figure some things out. And, you know, they're starting to be able to just find ways to win games without key rotation players. And that's something that this team's needed to do. Because when I'm going to pull up their schedule here. Let's take a look at their schedule. When Hugh get back from the All-Star break, and this is why, in my opinion, this is a perfectly timed All-Star break for the Lakers, right? You got Golden State, must-win game. San Antonio, back-to-back. You have to win San Antonio. Like, you can't lose to San Antonio that game. Like... that is a must-win game. Must-win game, okay? I don't know why my screen is doing that. Then you have Phoenix Sunday after that. Then you have a couple days off. The Clippers. Then another back-to-back against the Wizards. That's another must-win. You have to come out of the All-Star break at least 3-2. Okay, this is going to drive me insane. So Golden State, San Antonio, Phoenix, Clippers, Washington needs to at least be 3-2. You need to be Golden State. You need to be San Antonio. You need to be Washington. And you have to try to split Phoenix and the Clippers. You got to try to split that. Like, if you can get 4-1, then we can really start talking sixth seed. If you can somehow get to 4-1, we can start talking sixth seed. Okay? Then the month of March, this schedule, it's a gauntlet in the month of March, right? Like, your first... six games by themselves, right, are Denver, OKC, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento again, and then Golden State after that, right? So that's a very brutal schedule. The back half of the month of March actually kind of lines up. Like, Atlanta should be a win. Philadelphia, we don't know the status of Embiid, but if Embiid doesn't play, that should be a win. I think you're better than Indiana. So you should be able to beat Indiana you should be able to beat Indiana. You're better than Brooklyn, and then you're better than Memphis, right? But it's so imperative, again, to come out of this All-Star break 3-2, if not 4-1, because, again, your start of the month of March is dreadful. It is dreadful, your start of March. FJ says that he feels like the All-Star break could have come at a worse time. I'm curious, is the argument that because the Lakers are rolling and that they've won six of the last seven, is that the argument? If that's not the argument, I'm curious what the argument would be for why this is the worst possible timing. And quick score update on this Warriors game. It looks like the Warriors are going to lose. They're down 4, 48 seconds. Jonathan Kuminga just committed a shooting foul. So, chat, I mean, we got to celebrate the Warriors losing. So, let's celebrate by smashing that like button. We are at 115 likes. Let's try to get up to 150 likes here on the YouTube live stream. And make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating and review. Okay, I'm going to take this off now. So for my sanity, because it keeps doing that. All right. Let's get back to the chat. Let's see what we got here. Agree. PSI agrees with my take, saying that we will know how good the Lakers are after the All-Star break. Those next two weeks will define us. Yeah. And the coaching staff has some time for Golden State. Like, I need to see the coaching staff get in their bag. And they've done it before. Get in your bag. Like, you have a week to prepare for Golden State. Who knows if Chris Paul is going to be back by then. But you have a week, right? get in your bag. Like, I want to see a defensive masterclass that game, man. That needs to be awesome. Eve says, we have to beat the Nuggets at least once this year just to prove not only to the world but to ourselves that we can actually go all the way. I think that'll be a big confidence boost. Yeah, if you can beat the Nuggets and kind of like stop that losing streak, that could be a big boost of confidence for sure. But you gotta find a way to like stop some of their actions late. Ortega the Omega says Lakers Nation was in the building in Utah. Yeah, we had a listener or viewer rather on the playback stream that was in the building and on playback at the same time. Shout out. See, that's why Lakers faithful is the best. Like, nobody's doing it like us, man. You guys are freaking awesome. Dontavious Harvey says, I don't like Spencer Dinwiddie sitting corner with the three-guard lineup. I understand, but I actually do like it because Spencer Dinwiddie is an elite corner three-point shooter, right? And when he's sitting in the corner, it's a D'Lo pick and roll. And then that would D'Lo has 17 assists or whatever, right? It makes some sense. I understand letting Dinwiddie play off ball, especially while he's like trying to like still get the grasp of the system and get comfortable next to everybody once again. I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it personally. Let's see. March 2nd versus Denver is huge. We need Max and Cam back desperately. Hopefully good news on Gabe and Vando. You really need Max and Cam back for that Denver game. If you don't get them back for that Denver game, I that's going to be a little nerve-wracking in my opinion. The Warriors choked, did they? Officially? Russell Westbrook is shooting free throws to try to ice the game. Did we get a response to the... Great way to go into the break. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, let's take a look at this team. The cleaning the glass data from tonight, if it's out yet. So, let's just take a look at this team in general, right? Let's just see. Steph makes a layup. Bro, why is Russell Westbrook taking mid-range jumpers with the game on the line? That's so nerve-wracking. Stop. Stop shooting the ball. Get the ball out of Russell Westbrook's hands. Sorry, guys. The PTSD is triggering me right now. All right, let's take a look and see where this Lakers team is at now in the season. And that's annoying. I hate when it... Wait, what? Hold on. Just need to log back in. We are all good. Nope, I'm already a member. There we go. We should be all good now. All right, so now that we're all logged in or whatever, sorry about that. And the Clippers up by five now with 4 seconds left. So the Lakers, they are the second best team in the league at putting pressure on the rim. They're number two in frequency of shot attempts at the rim. They're fourth in field goal percentage at the rim. They are now they're now 13th in the league in three-point percentage. Is that accurate? Are the Lakers the 13th best three-point shooting team? I mean, I believe it's cleaning the glass, but I just want to like look at again with my own eyes. They're 13th. But this is where this is where Spencer Dinwiddie's gonna really help you out. So you see this number right here. Non-corner shoot. So above the break three, so Lakers are the sixth best above the break three-point shooting team in the league. On corner threes, they're in the bottom three. They're one of the three worst corner three-point shooting teams, right? So that makes it really easy to like scout or whatever, because now you can say, hey, look, okay, cool. When we go ball screen defense, we can sag off the corners to try to stop the drives and stuff like that. Spencer Dinwiddie's in the game. You can't do that, right? Spencer Dinwiddie's in the game. It's way harder to do that because he is a knockdown catch and shoot, corner three-point shooter, right? So when we take a look at Spencer Dinwiddie here, Spencer Dinwiddie shot accuracy, corner threes, this in Brooklyn this season, in Brooklyn this season, he shot 45% on corner threes. In Dallas last season, he shot 56% on corner threes. In Dallas the year prior when he had first got there, he shot 43% on corner threes. Like, this guy, for the past like 4 years or so now, has genuinely been a really freaking good corner three-point shooter, right? And that's also on not having great shot quality either, right? So when we go take a look at cleaning the glass, I'm sorry, at B-ball index. And once again, for any listeners that are not watching live, if I ever look to my left, I am looking at my monitor. So I do apologize. All right, so let's go look at Spencer Dinwiddie. So when we go look at Spencer Dinwiddie on B-ball index, shout out to people over at B-ball index. What we're gonna find here is we're gonna take a look at rim finishing talent. We're gonna take a look at matchup difficulty, ball screen navigation. We are gonna look at drives per 75 possessions. Rim shot making, and then we're going to take a look at three-point shot making, and then we also want to take a look at the shot quality too in comparison, right? We'll just look at three-point shot making and three-point shot quality. Cool. And then we're going to filter this out to the last three seasons, right? We want Spencer Dinwiddie. Cool. All right, so we got this. We got it up here, right? So, and we can make this the grades or whatever, right? Let's make these the actual grades. Database grade. All right, cool. So, Spencer Dinwiddie, he's genuinely been a really positive player for the past two seasons, right? Been a really positive offensive player for the past three seasons. He's had solid defensive years, right? Last year was an okay year. The year prior, when he first got to Dallas, was a solid year. It was an okay year as well, right? His ball screen navigation, A- last year in Dallas, in Brooklyn, A- the year prior. He's been a really, really good driver. This season, he has – I need to pull up rim shot quality as well. So give me one more second. Rim shot quality. There we go. Go ahead and pull this right back up. So when we look at rim shot making, right? So last season in Dallas, right? A, rim shot making, F, rim shot quality. This year it's B, rim shot making, F, rim shot quality. Then he had the 1 year where he was like really, really bad as a rim shot maker and had bad quality. But he's had really, really bad quality his entire career. But in this year, it's just not been the best shot making year, but he's still been a really, really good corner 3-point shooter. That's all the Lakers need out of him. That's all the Lakers need out of him. So when we go back to Spencer Dinwiddie's data here on Synergy one more time, and we look at Spencer Dinwiddie as a Laker, and we'll just pull up the Lakers team here. Spencer Dinwiddie in two games has been really, really efficient out of ball screens, has been okay in spot situations, could definitely be better, and has been really, really efficient in transition. That's to stop turning over the ball, but he's been good enough for you in transition, right? Been perfect at the rim, been really, really efficient for you. I love the fit for Spencer Dinwiddie for this team, if you cannot tell. Way to go, chat. I appreciate you guys. We are at 159 likes here live on the YouTube channel. Let's keep smashing that like button. Appreciate you guys. Let's get back here to the chat. Let's freaking go, by the way. The Warriors lost. Let's celebrate. Let's see if we can get this stream up now. I know I'm asking for a lot, but let's see if we can get this stream up to 200 likes. We are at 160 right now. Appreciate you guys. Let's keep it rolling. The Warriors lost on a night where Tyronn Lue got ejected. Let's go. Klay Thompson. I don't know whether or not to feel like bad for Klay or to like be mad at Klay. Because I think the way Klay's handled it has been really, really poorly. But at the same time, that is like a real human emotion, right? Like you were one of the best ever at your craft, right? And then a couple of fluky injuries, like kind of derailed your own career, right? And you haven't been able to get back. Like Klay Thompson was balling. Like that might have been peak Klay Thompson right before he got hurt, right? So part of me wants to feel bad for Klay, but I just think he's kind of like approached the situation really like inappropriately. Really, really quickly, want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, and that, hold on, wait one sec. We can get that done on the next show. Get that done on the next show. Sorry about that, chat. Let's see. Oh man, is this real? Jackson says, Sean, did you see AD has the seventh best odds to win Defensive Player of the Year? What a joke of an award. He's clearly the best defender on the planet, and he'll never have the award to show for it. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think he's going to be like the Tim Duncan of this era, and it's kind of ridiculous that Tim Duncan never won Defensive Player of the Year, where like he was consistently like the best defensive player of his like generation or whatever. Right? Like, it makes absolutely no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. Right? Like, even if we look at some of the data from this season, and we look at just defensive LeBron, when we look at matchup difficulty, and when we look at, let's go, rim point saves per 75 possessions, rim defensive field goal percentage versus expected, and when we go we get stop at that for now, right? Let's stop at that for now, right? So this is just the NBA currently. Let's see, defensive LeBron, the top six: Rudy Gobert, Nick Claxton, Wemby, Goga, Isaiah Hartenstein, AD, right? None of those guys have good matchup difficulty. Rim points saved per 75 possessions: it is Walker Kessler, Zubac, Embiid, Kristaps, Gobert, Hartenstein, Chet, Mobley, Tillman, Isaiah Jackson. AD's 14th. Rim defensive field goal percentage versus expected: Walker Kessler. We want to make this for, we want to filter this out for bigs, right? So let's make this only for bigs. Apologies about that, right? So out of all the bigs, AD is 16th in defensive field goal percentage versus expected. But when we go to NBA.com and we look at shots at the rim, hold on one sec, filter this out, and then I want one more thing. Oh, that's right. Games played. Let's filter this out to 5. Okay. So we got 72 players here, right? That have defended at least 5 attempts or whatever per game inside the paint, right? You got, okay. And then I suppose we have to add one more. Games played. You have to have played in, I don't know, we're this far into the year. Let's go 30 games. Right. All right. And I guess I have to do position too. Okay. I do position. Position does not equal guard. So you cannot be a guard. Right. So we filter this all the way out. Anthony Davis is is right around the Jaren Jackson Jr. range, right? But I think AD's like ability to switch out on the perimeter too really does help him. Look, I think the defensive player of the year is probably going to be Rudy Gobert. I mean, I get it. They're the best defense in the league. He's been remarkable this year. He's one of the biggest reasons why they're going to they have the best defense in the league. But I agree with the general thought. Like, for one, seventh is absurd. And two, I guess the second point was like he shouldn't be seventh, right? And also, like, it's kind of absurd that he might not ever win Defensive Player of the Year. Sean, where did you learn all this? Do you learn these things on the job, or did you really study this formally? Study what specifically, Power Ranger? That's also a YouTube channel member. Appreciate you for being a channel member. A great way to help out the show. You get great perks. Sean trying to filter this so AD looks good. I mean, AD always looks good. I mean, yeah. I don't know what you're trying to prove there. But get back to me with the question. I would be more than happy to answer that for you. Gobert winning three DPOIs would be absurd. Yeah. Gobert is going to get played off the court in the playoffs. Probably. I just think that the Timberwolves are going to have to only be able to play with only one big, right? They're going to have to be able to play with one big in the playoffs and sustain both ends of the floor. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on that team. Power Ranger responds, saying, like, how to interpret stats, like the technicalities of basketball. So the stats are kind of the easy part, right? The harder part is like the terminology for like different schemes, different sets, different defensive actions and stuff like that. But the fun thing about basketball is like it's so like out there to where you guys can find a lot of this stuff and just learn. So like I would say it's a bit of both. Like I already have like a decent chunk of knowledge about it, but like you learn, there's a bunch of great people in the basketball community that you can learn from very easily. And over the All-Star break, I'll do a better job about posting some stuff and going into, with the new computer, I'll be able to do a film breakdown. I'm going to do a film breakdown during the All-Star break. So stay posted on that. It's going to be a fun time. I'm really, really excited for this All-Star break. Going to have some great content here on the channel and personally. So make sure you guys keep an eye out there. We can wrap up on this question. Unless anything else comes in. Jackson says, got another one for PSI 2 we'll get to. Jackson says, what? Okay, we do not need an NBA.com ad there. Sean, what do you think is the realistic record we have in that tough stretch in March? Well, let's take a look at it. So I'm assuming you're talking about this tough stretch. Denver, OKC, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento. You played OKC fairly well, but no Vando. That's tough. So I don't know. I think you catch Milwaukee in LA. So that's one. I think you catch Sacramento at least once. So that's two, right? Damn, I really hope you beat Denver. I don't know if you're going to beat Denver. Do we just say screw it and be optimistic and give us the Denver win? But like the point is essentially like when you look at these six games, right? Like, let's highlight them, right? Denver, OKC, Sacramento, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento. You gotta win three. No, you first like okay. Hold on. Let's go back a little bit further here. Actually, and let's zoom in a little bit more here. So we can really kind of focus in on this stretch. Because I want to include the Golden State like stretch. So the stretch right before March, right? I want to include this. If you are able to go 4-1 here, that gives you more leeway to go like 2-4 here, right? So if you go 4-1, 4-1 plus 2-4, that's what, 6-5, right? 4-1, 2-4, yeah, 6-5, right? If you go 3-2 here, you got to go 3-3, right? So what, basically what I'm saying is you got to go out of this 11-game stretch here 6-5. That's got to be the goal. You got to get out of this 11-game stretch at least 6-5, right? Now, best case scenario, I think best case scenario, 4-1, 4-2. That's best case scenario. So you're talking 8-3 in this 11-game stretch. Worst case scenario is like 4-7, right? 4-7 is like the worst case scenario, I think, because I still think you're going to beat San Antonio and Washington. And then I think you would scrap out two wins somewhere else somehow, right? Because Braun, AD, etc. But best case scenario is probably 8-3. Worst case scenario, 4-7. More realistic, like, and the goal, quite frankly, for bare minimum, is 6-5, right? I don't know, dude. This team is wishy-washy as hell. 4-7 is the worst case. Might be generous. I really just think that, like, I don't see you losing more, like, not getting at least 4 here. I don't know. Watch they get 3. Knock on wood, obviously, but, you know. That's just kind of our luck. Really curious what changed in the locker room since we are now 6 out of 7, winning 6 out of 7. Yeah. You know, I'm not quite sure if anything did come out, right? If anything's really changed. I'm sure, like, the mood is up, the morale is up, stuff like that, because you're winning. Yeah. Cameron Visuals says, I think we could beat Denver. It's always a close game, even at the playoffs. It's just at the last minutes, they just hit everything. Denver just executes the hell out of their offense in the fourth quarter. And that's the thing. Can the Lakers find a way somehow to out-execute the Nuggets, or just hit more tough shots than Denver? I don't know. That Denver game is going to be really, really a strong indicator. That Denver game and the Denver, the biggest games in this stretch. March 2nd against Denver. March 6th against the Kings. And March 10th against, actually, no, I'm going to rewind. March 2nd against Denver. March 10th against Minnesota, March 13th against Sacramento. Those are the three biggest games, arguably, in this entire stretch in terms of what we're going to find out from this Lakers team. I'll explain why really, really quickly here to kind of wrap up the show. Denver, this just shows you if you can compete on this level and finally, like, beat this team. Right? That is, like, the bar. Denver is still the bar, right? Sacramento is the game, or Sacramento is like a really important game because Sacramento just plays a style similar to Denver. Sorry, Chad, we think we had some technical difficulties there for a minor second. I think we're all good now. Apologies about that. Anyway, we back. Sacramento can kind of play like Denver in the sense of they can spam their offense and really just generate quality looks like it's nothing, right? But they're also going to play at this crazy pace as well. And they have this unguardable guard as well in De'Aaron Fox, right? So that's a big test. And then Minnesota, because it's the best defense in the league, they're the number one team in the West record-wise. All right. Chat, we're going to get out of here on that before anything else breaks up. And, yeah, we get off all the emojis. Get off all the emojis here in the chat. It's been a while since we've had some of these problems, but I do appreciate you guys for sticking with me. Thank you guys so much for getting over 200 likes on the live stream. Let's keep smashing that like button as well. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to LakersNation.com post-game show. It was a fun win, everybody. We're going to keep coming at you guys with some great content here over the All-Star break. Till next time, everybody. See ya. Stay safe. Go Lake Show. Good night, everybody. Stay safe.